listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We're here until 7 p.m. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, back from Vancouver and in studio. What's up, Dreg?
I'm good. Everything's good. No complaints.
No complaints. Did you enjoy the draft? I mean, we didn't. From our standpoint, it was active, but it didn't seem as active as we were hoping.
Yeah, but that seems like an annual thing, doesn't it? And maybe what we need to understand is it's more about draft weekend because, you know, understandably, the teams are fixated on what the task is at hand, and that's drafting the best available player. But that doesn't diminish the fact that there was a great deal of communication, dialogue, even trade negotiation leading up to Friday. I mean, the environment was there. You know, I recall doing the opening and actually doing a SportsCenter hit, and we talked about how likely it was that PK Subban was going to be traded. You know, talked about the New Jersey Devils being far more active outside of the obvious of drafting first overall and some of the other scenarios in play. Now, it didn't happen Friday, so from a TV perspective, that's a little disappointing, but it happened Saturday, so that's what the weekend's all about.
So, Toronto, were they in on PK? Like, what was going to happen there? Because, like, they don't have any room for anything, so how is that going
to
work?
Yeah, it would have been delicate, to be sure. I think what we're learning about Kyle Dubas is he's in on just about everything, and that's not a criticism. That's an acknowledgement of the changing of the job. You have to be. You know, some of the most active general managers are guys like, you know, Brad Treliving, Marc Bergevin, the Montreal Canadiens, Kyle Dubas now emerging as that. If you don't throw your hat in the ring, how do you know what's going to happen?
And, well, maybe Dreg's, well, in on everything or very aware of everything is...
They have to be.
Craig Button has talked about it all the time. Yeah. You have to be calling everybody every day and seeing where everyone's at.
Yeah, and just because you talk about scenarios, right? You know, I think of Winnipeg, you know, reaching out to the Carolina Hurricanes and talking about the potential of Nick Ehlers for Brett Pesce. Well, they don't really want to trade Nick Ehlers, but for a deal like that that makes some sense, you'd consider it. That's why you lob it out there. It's no different than, you know, Kasperi Kapanen and Connor Brown and Nick Zaitsev to the Edmonton Oilers for a package that would bring Darnell Nurse back. You know, it's not going to happen, but in and among the conversations that you're having general manager to general manager, those sorts of scenarios do present. So to go back to PK Subban, it wasn't a fit for Toronto, but was there interest from Toronto's standpoint? Yes, but there's no way that the Toronto Maple Leafs could take on PK Subban without the Nashville Predators eating a good chunk, and like $3 million plus.
And it sounds like that's what a lot of the managers were trying to get David Poile to do. Say, I like PK at 6.5. Well, so would the rest of the league. Now, what are you willing to pay? But Poile gets PK completely off his books from a financial standpoint. And Ray Shiro puts his hands up and says, I'll take $9
million. Right.
That's a lot of money to pay him, but it's also...
But they have it.
But it's also a defenseman who is a difference maker when he's on his game and healthy.
Well, and he's going to be motivated now, right? I mean, this is the second time in less than a year that he's been traded. And at some point, you start to take that personally, even though everything about the business is driven by the finances. You know, Nashville's desperate. David Poile is desperate to win a Stanley Cup. He wants to end his career hoisting that trophy. And he's willing to do anything to try and achieve that. I believe that he's targeted Matt Duchene. That's not news breaking, but Matt Duchene's going to be, the low end is 9.5. I mean, if Artemi Panarin is getting 12.5.
Is that what he's supposed to be?
Well, potentially he could. I mean, those are the numbers that are, you know, out there right now. Whether or not they're real, we're going to find out in the days ahead leading up to July 1st. But inch by inch, that dollar sign is creeping up. Nashville can't even get in that game remotely without moving a $9 million contract. And the fact that they found a team, and in this case the New Jersey Devils, that's fine work.
Well, they'll probably fine trying work. To be looking to move out Kyle Turris.
I would
if they
think.
Can even sniff around that.
Yeah,
good luck doing that,
that's
by
on,
the way.
That's on Poile, right? He just acquired him a year and a half ago.
Yeah, he had a miserable year. He was
gave
awful.
Him a big deal.
He gave him a big deal.
I mean, it's on the player, too. The player hasn't performed, clearly. Yeah. It's on Kyle Turris, but it's not like Poile was... Poile's been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
But every single
deal
is his deal.
Remember the people in Ottawa? Like how Kyle Turris wouldn't sign in Ottawa, that extension, goes gets traded to Nashville, signs an extension for less than what we thought.
Ottawa was willing to
pay. Ottawa was willing to pay. Like, he obviously wanted out of there. Like, Turris is a guy that is a good player, but I think he's a second-line centerman at best, and he had a miserable year.
Yeah. It is the trickiest part of being a general manager is being able to manipulate and find a way to partner up with a team that's willing to take on a bad contract. I gave Kyle Dubas credit this morning, and he deserves full credit for moving out Patrick Marleau. And I know that there's some backlash from some who believe that, he overpaid to do it by giving up that first-round pick. That first-round pick isn't helping the Toronto Maple Leafs this year or any of the next 3 years, 4 years maybe. Well, if the Toronto Maple Leafs don't win a Stanley Cup in that window, chances are Kyle Dubas is doing something else somewhere else. That's just the reality of the situation. And he can't look after his own business, be it Marner or others, without moving out that deal. And it's not a slight on Patrick Marleau. They had to give him that third year to get him to come to Toronto. San Jose wouldn't give him the third year. That's why he left. Yeah, he was
looking,
great
looking
for
back
the Leafs.
At it, they probably knew they were going to be in this situation once they...
Yes.
The only reason
yes.
he was leaving San Jose is yes. because he wanted that third year.
Yeah.
Just because,
yeah.
just
but
like every other older guy.
But what's weird, though, if he signs back there... Like, that's a third year, technically.
He yeah, but he's going to sign back for a million.
You're right. He'll sign back on an entry-level deal, technically, million, two million, or whatever.
And doesn't it, it confirms that he wanted out, doesn't it? Because if he wanted to stay, he could have said, I'm not going anywhere.
I think he would have stayed. If the opportunity was there, right?
You want to stay when you're not welcome?
Yeah.
No,
I hear
it's
you.
A handshake
yeah.
deal,
but
wink,
still,
wink, after
yeah.
2 years.
He's a veteran. He got his deal. Yeah. Like Phil Kessel, he's like, I'm not going anywhere.
And I think he's okay with where he's at, obviously, at this point in his career. San Jose is his home. That's his family's home. That's where they want to continue to raise their children. If he's playing hockey next year, I believe it's going to be in San Jose or somewhere on that West Coast. Maybe he's not playing hockey next year. I don't know. I mean, that's not breaking news. It's just the reality of looking at the wonderful career that he's had. But he's only making that decision if he's comfortable with the hard facts. Because you look at San Jose, and there's some heavy lifting that Doug Wilson still has to get done, even to squeeze in, a low-value deal like Marleau might be looking
Well,
for.
The Maple Leafs are still in the same spot. Even once you unload Marleau, they immediately gave it to Kapanen and Johnson. Two deals that I think are very good deals, smart deals for the players who really don't have a ton of sample size, and smart deal for the team as well. But they still got to get Marner done. No one knows where that's going or how much it's going to cost them in the end. Zaitsev is still on the team, right?
Yeah.
Connor Brown's a guy we've been kind of circling based on his number and where he is with the depth chart.
Well, and they have to round out their defensive
chart.
Core.
Defense core, backup goalie.
Gardner's unrestricted.
Yeah.
You
got a lot
right.
of work to do, but they're still up against it. Even without Marleau, they're
lots
still
of
up
work.
Against
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's tons of work, and players are going to have to get moved. I agree with Kapanen and Johnsson, but are we convinced those guys are off limits now? Maybe they become more valuable as signed commodities. I mean,
on the short term, I can't see them working out deals and then flipping them right now.
I wouldn't think so. It from a team perspective, it doesn't make a ton of sense to do that. But when you look down the list of Toronto Maple Leafs that are going to fetch a return, like, what are you giving to the team that is taking Nikita Zaitsev? You're giving them something.
Does it have to be a sweetener? You think it definitely
I think it
be?
Does. I think it does. Otherwise, he'd have been traded by now. Right. Teams are worried about the term of Nikita Zaitsev.
Yeah.
If he's the defenseman that he was 2 years ago, I don't think anybody's worried about it. If he has back-to-back decent years, you can't take that term and have Nikita Zaitsev have another year like he had last year. So you're going to have to sweeten it to some degree.
Well
that's
might
the
have
risk
to come
with
back.
Any kind of guy. You can't say to somebody, we don't want to trade for you if you're going to have another year like you just had. They're hoping for the response of the rebound year.
They're probably taking a calculated risk.
I'm sure the New Jersey Devils are thinking, PK, you had 38 points this year. You had 61 the year before. You had 65.
You had
45, 55. We don't want you to have 38 again.
But there is more sample size with PK where a guy like Zaitsev had a good year and then I think he had 12 even strength points last year, like Zaitsev.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was playing 6 minutes a night.
No.
Or 22 minutes a night. Like, I think Zaitsev can play. I think he's a solid player, but he has to play with a skilled, he has to play with a guy like Gardner who can move the puck or whatever, like go around the league, somebody who can move the puck. That being said, there has to be a sweetener because it's a five-year deal. And if he shows up looking like the player that played last year, you got four more years of that.
Or you're Jimmy Benning in Vancouver, and you just don't you can't make sense of signing Tyler Myers to a seven-year extension at upwards of $8 million. And I read that somewhere. I was driving. I almost drove off the road. I shouldn't be looking on my phone, obviously, when I'm driving, but I did. And I saw somebody tweet that he's going to get upwards of $8 million. Well, that's changed in a week because a week ago, I think his camp were hoping that he'd be high sixes, maybe seven, and then Jake Gardner would come in at 7.25, 7.3, somewhere around there. Well, if the market has changed that dramatically because Erik Karlsson signed his deal with the San Jose Sharks and all of a sudden now there's pressure points, you know, maybe Benning at some point is, I'm not paying Tyler Myers $8 million a year or $7.5 million. I'll take my chances on Nikita Zaitsev, you know, being better, and maybe I'll add another piece, you know, to my defensive core, and let's just roll the dice here and see how it goes.
It's a position of need. Yeah. Like, listen, no one's going to claim Zaitsev is going to be up for the Norris anytime soon. He's not. But I think on probably 20 teams in the league, he's your fourth or fifth defenseman.
Yeah.
Right? Like, which is not great. And obviously 5 years is not ideal. But when you consider some of the other moves, some of the other desperation signings, I have a feeling someone at some point when the dust settles on July 10th is going to say, I'll take it.
I
need it. We don't have kids that can come up, and we didn't sign anybody.
I still think it comes with a sweetener.
Like, really?
I don't think it's I don't think they get value back for him.
I agree.
I'm not saying value. There's difference though between you can have
for a seventh round.
For give us a third rounder. That's not a sweetener. And hey, we got to throw in.
Yeah, I don't think it's a first rounder going out the other way, but I think there's a sweetener involved.
Yeah. Okay.
But it may be a sweetener to the point where Kyle still needs more money. Maybe it's Zaitsev and Connor Brown for player X.
Yeah.
And we love Connor on the show. We've said it a million times in that. But if he's
just a victim of circumstance.
Exactly. Right. Because maybe it's Zaitsev's 4.25 and Brown's 2.25 or 2.5 that they need to continue to grab. Yeah. Because they do have to sign. If they're going to sign Hainsey, maybe Hainsey's deal looks something like Braden Coburn's, you know, a 1.7, 2 million. But they need another defenseman. Like, they need actual players because Morgan Riley's a superstar, in my opinion. I love the guy. But after that, there's some drop-off.
Are you guys doing a countdown show?
What, on July 1st?
No. 26, 12:01 a.m.
Oh, for the RFA. we need you in studio.
Well, we do. But you know what we forgot to do was a salad rebuild.
That is
last
coming up,
week.
I think,
we're
later
do
in
the it.
Week. We'll figure that out.
Yes.
Don't worry about that.
Because I think some people were sending us pictures of our buddy Kaber from the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Was going thin up top.
When you talk about Dregs,
he looks pretty
12,
good, though.
Yeah, he does look good.
He looks good. He slimmed down.
The 12:01 on the Wednesday, like, is it just phone calls? People are going to be checking in on Marner. I can't see him flying off and visiting different markets, different cities. Me, personally, I think everybody knows different markets in every city.
Yeah.
Is it just interest from other teams? Like, I'm sure somebody's going to call and say, what might be the interest? What might be the number?
I wouldn't be surprised by any of it. And what's interesting to me, and you're not the first guy to ask that question of me, is the optics of it seem to matter. Glenn Schiller and I were just having this conversation. And to him, the optics matter. You know, there's a difference between having a conference call. Nobody really knows your business. You're just on with Team X general manager, Team X head coach, and whoever else needs to be on that call versus getting on that plane with your dad, your girlfriend, your agent, and going to wherever the teams are that are most interested, because we are such a transparent society now. Like, he can't, unless he's flying out of Buttonville or there's some private sort of arrangement. He couldn't walk into Pearson without people being on top of him. We would know that in a second. But to answer your question, is it possible he gets on an airplane? Yeah, it is. I'm told that there are at least three teams and possibly four that want to meet and have a discussion with.
But if he's getting on an airplane, I think that Matthew Tkachuk's got to be getting on an airplane too. I think Rantanen and Braden Point.
Maybe.
They might, yeah. Like, just all around, we should have people at airports because...
I don't think Braden Point's getting on a plane.
I think Braden Point wants to stay in Tampa.
Absolutely. Why would you not want to stay on that team?
But why would you not want to stay on
this one? I'm saying Mitch Marner's not getting on a plane.
I agree.
I think that would be the personification of a clickbait move. That's what it would be. Mitch Marner, because I think he posted on his own Instagram, or somehow it would get out, because... And it's
what do you think if he clicked or whatever?
Well, hello. You would find out. If he's flying to Denver or Long Island or something, you're going to find out.
Would you be annoyed by it?
No, it's his right. He can do whatever he wants. But I don't think it's going to make a difference on what he's actually trying to do. I think it would be about sending a message to the Maple Leafs. I'm in this for real, but I'm not convinced that he is in for real. I think he wants to be here, and I think it's going to get done. But
I don't know, Brian. I'm not with you. Like, I'm not convinced it's not going to get done. But if you're not in it for real, you're not waiting until the 24th of June to make that decision that you've been grinding it out, taking beatings on social media from a fan base that did nothing but celebrate when Austin Matthews signed a 5-year extension. Upset
Greg,
the apple cart.
What beatings is he taking in the media? Or
people are all over him.
Yeah, he's
look
taking,
at it. Read my replies.
Yeah.
If you're bored for 15 minutes, have a look.
Yeah.
He's taking beatings, and that's fine.
He is.
That comes with the territory. I mean, you know, there are some in the fan base who think that he should just happily sign and be a Toronto Maple Leaf forever, but that's just not the reality of the business side of the game anymore. Whether we like it or not, that's not the reality.
I don't disagree with you. I think he gets hurt even more because he's a Toronto kid and people think he should know better.
Yeah.
People like, you should know better. Don't do this to your fans. You were a fan. You should know better. But I think the whole meeting scenario is a two-way street as well, because you've had a league here that's been very reluctant to sign offer sheets.
Right.
So if a team is saying, come meet us, what they're accepting is, we're sending a vibe out that we're in on this.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced all these guys want that.
Well, but you've got an $81.5 million salary cap next year, which is, you know, $1.5 million shy of what most were hoping it was going to be. This is a unique crop for me, this RFA pool. And if we don't see an offer sheet this year, we're never going to see it. I don't think we'll ever see it because you just don't have. Why wouldn't you take advantage of the Toronto Maple Leafs? Why wouldn't you? And then, you know, likewise, Matthew Tkachuk, who I believe, with all due respect to Braden Point, Mika Rantanen, and Sebastian Aho, is another one that is a prime offer sheet target. If you're not going to take advantage of the system, then you'd better spend $5 million a year on your scouting staff and make sure that every corner of the world has been covered off, because that's the only way to get a superstar player. If you don't have the stones to dive into that pool and offer sheet somebody, then you're not doing what the system allows you to do to make your team better.
I promote chaos, movement. I love
so
it.
So do I.
I love it, but we haven't seen one since 2012.
Yeah.
Right now, yes, this crop is much better, but there have been some great
RFAs. So if Matthews signs a 7-year extension, 6 or 7 years, I don't think we're having the same conversation today.
So the term is the holdup more than anything else.
The term is a big issue. It's a big issue. That upset the whole process. And I don't blame Matthews or the people who represent him. They're fine people. They got an absolute rock-solid deal because he's going to hit that mega grand slam again and maybe again after that.
Right.
But what it did was send a message to Marner, send a message to Tkachuk, send a message to Point, to Rantanen, to Connor, to Lyonnais.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to sign these big, long deals, and you don't have to have a 2 or a 3-year bridge rammed down your throat either.
Right.
There's a thing called a hybrid bridge now, and it's a 5-year deal.
The hybrid bridge.
But it's true. This wasn't the first time it happened either. Crosby did it. Stamkos did it. Tavares did it. Getzlaf did it. Taves and Kane did it.
Not at 11-5, though.
No, you're right.
Kane and Taves are probably the closest comp. And we were just talking about this in the That's Hockey office. They're probably the closest comp to what Matthews did.
Right.
Oh, in terms of the percentage of the cap.
That was a Grand Slam player-friendly deal.
Ooh,
like that one, like the Leafs get hammered for the Nylander deal. But the Matthews deal, they just said, here's a check, here's a piece of paper, we're going to sign back.
I would have loved to have been a spy and seeing the Dubas text messages come in from some of his GM colleagues.
Right.
There would have been some. There would have been some spicy ones coming through.
I've heard
through.
A few comments. Yeah, that's the one thing. Because we're in Toronto, because it's the Mecca here. But like, haven't heard anything online, eh?
No.
Kyle Connors is, in my mind, a star too. Like
30
he's
goal
a
guy,
stud,
2 years in a row.
Star. Like Tkachuk, yes. Like you hear Rantanen, obviously, but you know, Winnipeg's a Canadian market, very loud, and Chevy's got his work cut out for him.
There's like nothing going on there. It's weird.
It is eerily quiet in a market like that,
right?
With high expectations, a really good team on paper, and they've got a lot of stuff to sort out. Here, it's very loud. You know, the Marner camp, like regardless of, I say the Marner camp, it's his representation, it's his father, him, and all that.
And it is the market.
Yeah, it's the market, and they're not shy to. Whether it's proper information or not, it seems to be very front and center. We're not hearing anything.
No, but they're waiting because Marner is the linchpin, right? So if Marner gets whatever he's going to get, you know, let's just use a $10.5 or $11 million figure. There's dialogue going back and forth on a daily basis between Dubas and Ferris. There's parameters being discussed, all of that. There's no firm offers per se, but there's generalizations. So let's say Marner gets 11. I don't know what he's going to get. If you're Kyle Connor, are you not saying, okay, well, I would have been happy with 8, 8.5, but now that he's getting 11, well, I'm not so happy with 8.5 anymore. I really like to get 9, 9.5, or you know,
okay,
like,
let me.
That's
ask
how
you
the process
question.
Unfolds.
We did this exercise the other day, and I thought it was really fun. If you had to rank all the RFAs right now. I wouldn't have Marner as my one. I like, who do you like? Is there.
Mine's Matthew Tkachuk because I'm
there's
just.
There's Tkachuk, there's Rantanen.
Yeah.
Point.
I would.
Rantanen,
Point, and Marner are all
right
there.
Not Tkachuk?
For me. Well, I love Tkachuk, but.
He's up there for me.
I don't know if he scores at the same level. I mean, he brings different elements.
34 man.
Line A.
I know that.
Kyle
but Laine's the forgotten guy.
That's what I'm saying.
This time last year, Laine was clearly the guy that was
for
getting
fun one. Scores 30 goals. For fun.
Didn't he go 45, 40, 30?
Yeah. Now, he had it down year.
He did have
a down year.
Yeah, there's some recency bias in your opinion of that guy, but like.
Yeah. You're right.
But you guys have just 40, established.
40, 30, and we don't even have a.
You've just established the table of restricted free agent talent this year, yet no one's buying into the idea there should be an offer sheet. Why wouldn't there be an offer sheet on one of these guys that we've just discussed?
I just don't know if it's Marner. I think it's somebody else.
Well,
it could
be. It could be any of those guys.
Yeah, like I've said this before. If you're the Florida Panthers, your cross-state rival is the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've been beating your heads in for 10 years. Why wouldn't you throw $12 million at Braden Point and say, you try to pay him that?
Yeah.
Because you're up against it, too.
Now, here's something I learned this today, and I learned something new every day. We get stuck on the compensation package, right? It's 4 first-round draft picks.
At a certain number.
Yeah, it'd go over 10-8 or whatever it would be. And it would be over that for Marner or probably anyone who's going to offer sheet, any of the guys we've talked about. Otherwise, why waste the time? What I didn't know was, even though it has to be 4 picks, and they have to be your own picks, it's 4 out of 5 years. So you've
but you
got
can pick.
Yeah, so let's say you don't have a first-round pick in 2020, but you do in the 4 consecutive years after that, you could still offer sheet one of those guys this year.
I see.
Like now.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have
to and another applies going
pick.
Down to the same thing. So you need to have the consecutive picks, but you know, if it's compensation on 3 draft picks, you know, it's 3 and 4 years or 4 and 5 years. So that's a bit more flexibility, to be fair.
I think what everyone's trying to find is that perfect storm of a team that has the money, has the picks, but is also believes they're good enough or close to being good enough where they're comfortable handing over those picks.
Right.
And okay. I don't know what that team – I mean, Colorado's a team that I keep coming back to.
I keep hearing the Islanders – are real eager on Artemi Panarin. Like when I talk about $12 million, that's a team that I'm looking at. If maybe it's an either or, right? Maybe Lou is the guy.
But do you think
that
Lou
drops
would do
the
that
offer
to
sheet?
The league?
How often has Lou been horny to just throw $12 million at anybody?
I know. I trust me.
Like all of a sudden, Lou is now the horniest guy in the league to throw $12 million at. We'll give you $12 million.
Yeah. Well,
if he won't give his own guys 12, then who the hell is he giving 12 to?
You never know, though, if the owner's not stepping in.
Yeah.
Like, by all accounts, that's what happened with Kovalchuk. Everyone talks about big, bad autonomy Lou. Someone said, sign it, Lou, and he did because he had to. But
He works for
somebody. Good point, Brian.
It's a good point, Brian.
I just, you know, with Lou, like, we had Bettman on Friday, and we asked him, why aren't more offer sheets happening? And he said he believes the system has made it very difficult to do it. But then he went on and gave his own opinion, and he said something along the lines of, if I were running a team, I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's smart business. Why would you do that? And I read that as, okay, that's his message to the other teams in the league. Don't do it.
Yeah, but he's what he's saying is, if you do it to me, then when I'm in a position to do it to you, I'm going to do it. So you establish a precedent that you may not like when it's getting jammed down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, is it good business not to have NHL players in the Olympics? I mean, the players seem to think it's great business to have, you know, players playing in the Olympics. So
I'm not saying Gary's got all the answers, but I do think he's got the ears of the owners.
Well, I would look at...
So it may not be the GMs. It could be the owners who go, no, we're not doing that. Because that, you know, I don't want to get screwed in 2 or 3 years or whatever it is. I don't know.
One thing that is consistent with a lot of these teams that have RFAs that are very coveted, a lot of them are pressed up against the cap. So, like you said, it comes back to if there's ever going to be an offer sheet with this type of crop and with how tight the cap is, if there is a team that's waiting in the wings, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it this year. Because if you don't do it this year, I don't know if you'll
ever.
Exactly.
No, you won't. You won't.
And it's not just, I'm not bringing it to Toronto. I'm bringing it to Tampa. I'm bringing it to Winnipeg, Calgary. All these teams are pressed up.
Yeah, the system needs to correct itself, though. And then the only way it corrects itself is if it's corrected via CBA. They've got to do something with that second contract, and I don't know what that is.
Right.
Extend it from 3 years to five, find a way to cap what a restricted free agent can make in a second. I don't know, but it's flushing the system. I mean, you guys as former players, imagine sitting in that room, you know, hoping that you're going to get paid as a 30-year-old dude who is a third-line player, maybe a second-line player, should be making 4 or 5 million a year, and
squeezed.
The 20, 21-year-old just sucked 10 and a half, 11, no 11 and a half out of the system, and now, sorry.
Well,
you know, we'll give you $1.5 million less than what you can take. But
there's so many. There were so many pressure points. I was part of, you know, the players. You were part of the players, but I was a player rep. And when Lindros came in and was making $3 million a year, and Gretzky goes, hold on a second here. That's what I'm making. So I've got to make more than that. And then Mario goes, oh, well, I'm better than him. And Brett Hull, like, there is a sliding scale. And you know, these RFAs now it's just messing with the older players. So it's just shifted. That's all it is.
Right. Yeah. And on top of that, this is the year they decide, we don't want to pay that much escrow.
81.5. So good luck with that.
Imagine you're a 30-year-old who's been paying escrow so other guys can get paid. And you're like, all right, I'll pay it off, though, when I'm up. Clearly, it'll go up to 84 so I can find that extra 500 grand.
Right.
No, we're going to cap it, and all the money's going to the 22-year-old.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem with the union. The league doesn't care because there's a finite number, and you guys figure it out.
Yeah, it's hard cap.
We're paying you 50% of the money that's coming in.
Yeah, the GMs care because there's enough revenue in the system that it could be a cap of around 85 million. With that full
escalator. And I don't understand why the league wouldn't want that. Like, we're talking about the biggest markets, the markets that truly keep your league alive.
Yeah.
Toronto, New York, Philly, Boston, Chicago, LA. They want to spend money. But no, we got to worry about Arizona and the floor.
Yeah. See, I like the idea of in the next CBA having like a slush fund where each team gets $5 million and you can just wipe it off annually.
Right.
And use it as a tradable commodity. So Carolina isn't going to use their $5 million. The Toronto Maple Leafs give them a first round pick. Now they've got $10 million they can flush.
Mid level exception. They do that in the NBA.
But it'll be haves versus have nots.
Yeah. Gary won't allow it.
He won't allow it.
Bettman will not allow it.
Mid level exceptions, and what is the other term new to the show today?
A hybrid
bridge.
Yes.
Hashtag.
Own rental.
I love it.
Hybrid bridge.
All right, Dregs.
Okay, guys, have a good night.
Here's Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider. The Jays are down in New York. Marcus Stroman is talking. He's got things to say.
Okay, I'll get into that.
We'll tell you about it next. All right, later this week, June 29th, the Rolling Stones are taking over Burl's Creek Event Grounds, and We're giving away a pair of tickets right here on Overdrive every day this week. Every day of the week, you can go see the Rolling Stones.
Nice.
Who do you think's a better guitarist right now? Nick Nurse or Keith Richards?
I'm always going with our guy, Keith.
Keith Richards is grizzled. Nick Nurse. No, I'll go Keith Richards.
Yeah, it's Keith. Obviously. I mean, obviously, Keith is one of the all-time greats, but he's also
Nick
at a stage
in his
life.
Nick is the more popular one right now because of what happened.
Well, I think Nick is more, he's going to be more in the moment and paying attention.
Yeah. So funny.
And really driven and, you know, I'm into this, where Keith may take a couple of notes off or...
Oh, yeah, I think he mails it in, like Ronnie Wood will take over.
And... Go ahead, Ronnie, I'm just going to walk around here for a bit.
It is, but those guys have been around forever. Even if you watch, like, Kiss Reunion, how many Kiss shows, I don't know if you've ever been to a Kiss show, but, like, they wheel out Ace Frehley, he's 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
And he plays 8 chords, he's good at them, but that's it. Like, and there's no emotion. Mick Mars, obviously, for Motley Crue has... back issues. I think it's a very serious degenerative situation.
That's tough. Yeah,
but he's still sitting there.
He's getting the job done, man.
Well, Keith Richards is 1,000 years old too.
But he's still a legend. All right,
I love him.
Caller 10 at 416-870-1050. Caller 10 at 416-870-1050. You're going to see the Rolling Stones and a bunch of great Canadian bands as well up at Burroughs Creek on June 29th. So the Jays are in the Bronx tonight playing the Yankees. And Marcus Stroman, speaking with the media, which is rare. He's not going today.
Right.
And he's a guy that can be a little bit dodgy with the media anyway. But he's in New York, so I'm sure he's like, let's get talking here. And this is courtesy of Rob Longley from The Sun, who's down there. Someone asked Stroman, would you like to pitch for the Yankees?
Wow.
Said, quote, I'm built for Yankee Stadium. Oh, anybody can say whatever, but I'm built for the bright lights and the moment. I'm not scared of it. I'll never be. I love it. End quote. So then he kept getting pushed on the Yankees. All right, post-trade deadline, what's up? He said, quote, New York is like the Mecca of the world, right? I love excitement. I love bright lights. I love competition. So people kept pushing him. All right, we're talking about you pitching for the Yankees. Not against the Yankees. He said, quote, obviously I'm from New York. I'm a New York boy, so I would think that says everything for itself. I think he would be ecstatic if the Yankees acquired him.
This started last night with what he sent out a tweet where he's drinking a glass of wine and he's like, that New York vino, if you don't know it, you don't know it. And I'm like...
Yeah. I'll tell you when it really started.
No. Bryce Harper did this last year. Remember, he had a beard forever. And they changed leagues, and they switched leagues, and the Washington Nationals played in New York. Guess who shaved their beard? The year that he was becoming a free agent.
Now, it was a waste of time because the Yankees never came calling with the money.
And grow it back.
I know, but wasn't it weird that Bryce Harper had to shave the beard for that series?
Oh, he knew exactly.
If I was one of his teammates, I would have said, get serious, man.
He knew exactly what he was doing. He wanted to be in New York. He didn't want to be in Philly. He still doesn't want to be in Philly. And his numbers have not been very good. Based on his price tag and the pursuit of Bryce Harper, you look at his numbers, like he's leading the league in strikeouts in the National League by a mile.
He's been kind of hot lately.
Now, does
numbers have not been good overall.
Would the Yankees want Stroman?
Yes, I believe they would. That's what they're missing. They're missing starting pitching. And I think yesterday he would have endeared himself more in New York than he would have in Toronto. Because people up in Toronto aren't even paying attention to what's going on with the Blue Jays.
It is so hard to dial into them and get engaged and kind of dive into it.
Well, maybe that's why he's not – maybe he was acting up against Boston because that is the –
I don't think that's a mistake.
The hated rivalry.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Marcus Stroman, pitching that well at Fenway, putting on that kind of show, riling up the Red Sox, riling up Eckersley, going at him.
Yeah,
and knowing I'm going to New York tomorrow.
And he's going to be front and center, and he'll be asked about it. So he's
he
like,
knew it was coming.
I'm built for this.
I don't think that's a coincidence. No, I think he's a passionate guy.
Like, he never talks, and he had just come out.
On an off day, I don't know when the last, like, maybe we missed something, but usually he's a guy, if he can avoid the media, he will avoid the media. In New York, knowing he's going to be asked about his numbers, which are very good.
Yeah.
He knows he's on the trade block. And if he can go anywhere, you know he wants to go to New York. That's where he's from. He grew up a Yankee fan. He wants to be a New York Yankee.
Yeah.
So you go into Fenway, you put on a gem like that, and you piss off Fenway Park in Boston. Yeah. You don't think people are going to pay attention in New York?
Well, they'll pay attention. Plus, he wants that attention. He said, I'm built for it. I'm built for the bright lights. Like, you know, go and do it. He's a good player, and he's had a good season on an awful team.
Yeah.
But I always, like I said, there's a fine line because, believe me, you've talked about it. Aaron Judge, all of those guys, those superstars there, get booed no matter what. Could he handle that? Knowing what you know of Stroman.
Can he handle New York?
He has a rough outing, his first couple outings, and they're giving it to him. And his Twitter is lighting up in a negative way, that would eat at him. I think he's a guy who's very sensitive to that.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned Kevin Durant earlier.
Correct.
You know, looking out for his own name on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's been brought up before. I don't know if Kevin Durant can handle New York.
Right.
Now, Marcus Stroman is from New York. He might feel like he can handle it a little better. Look what just happened with the Mets yesterday.
Yeah.
They are.
But I thought
a
that
mess.
But why would a reporter chirp the manager on the way? Like, that's a jackass move.
Well, but I'm not sure it was a chirp. Like, it could have been it was clearly interpreted as a chirp.
Yeah,
if you're not familiar with this.
Right.
Mickey Callaway is the manager for the Mets. My understanding is the reporter said, "All right, we'll see you tomorrow."
Like a smart ass comment?
Well,
not
he
really.
Claimed it was, but I don't know. What does that mean? I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, if the reporter didn't.
If you are going to see the person tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow, like, Mickey. And
so
the guy
maybe
snapped.
Mickey, the wires crossed.
Like, I don't get the impression like Mickey Callaway is the most stable manager right now.
Yeah,
he's not a stable genius. You know, I think Mickey Callaway's in big trouble. Jason Vargas, he went off as well. He's a veteran. I mean, he's been around. He's been dealing with the media for a long time.
Right, right.
But there's a difference. The Mets are a train wreck, and they're awful. Yeah. The Yankees are a great team, and they're going to the playoffs. So I think it's different coverage, I'm sure.
I took it as when I saw that he went nuts on a reporter, it sounded to me like the reporter made a jackass comment to him. If he actually just said, hey, we'll see you tomorrow, and he took it the wrong way, to me, that's the manager being ultra sensitive because things are going so poorly.
That was my read again. Without being there, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't
and
it, know.
It's all
you know how guys can just you have a bad day.
You have
it's
a bad
like,
day.
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't like the way you said that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the Tim Healy is his name from Newsday. I'm sure he hasn't been kind in his coverage.
No.
It wouldn't shock me if he said this Mickey Callaway is the biggest clown in the league.
Exactly.
And he's got to go.
Yeah.
So you hear anything out of that guy's mouth, you're not going to interpret it.
There's some
positively.
It's on all the top 10 lists in SportsCenter. Just the coach for the Sudbury Wolves, and someone says, how do you think these kids are playing? And he's like, shut up and don't ask me how these guys are playing. He just absolutely loses his mind. And it was just one of those things that triggered the coach, and he went crazy.
Well, who is the guy?
Try to find that, Mulls. Sudbury Wolves coach that just goes crazy.
I remember that.
Who was the defenseman? Was it Boyle?
Yeah, Danny Boyle after...
Yeah, he cheated off on Brooksy.
Yeah, but Brooks...
He said, get out of here.
Brooks didn't say anything, but he knew his coverage.
Right.
He knew that Brooks had been like, this guy's done and he's got to go.
And that was at his year-end presser, and he said, I don't want this guy. I'm done. I'm done my career. I don't want this guy here.
Right.
He's written about garbage about me all year. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Like, they're not. Where is he going to go? Is he supposed to say, okay, I'll leave? He's doing his job.
Well, you know, Larry Brooks wasn't going to go anywhere. Yeah, he would have chained himself to the roof if he had to make sure he stayed there. But that was an example of a guy. He hadn't even said anything, is my understanding.
Right.
Brooks was just sitting there with a microphone, and Boyle was like, I hate the sight of you. Which I get it.
Believe
I mean,
me, there are people that you hate their face because of some of the things that they've said.
They're covering you.
Yeah.
You're the one out there playing. the coverage is not going to be positive if you don't have a good year or if you're on a bad team.
Right.
It's not going to be fun. Like, right. I understand that human. Like, that's what happened here in New York, I'm sure. Now, it doesn't make it right.
Right.
I think if you're the manager or a player, you can't, as a player, say, I'm going to choke you out.
You're not going to.
You can't do
you're
that.
You're not going to win that battle. You're going to. No. There has to be a line of professionalism. That's why I was wondering if the scribe crossed it or it was the manager. Obviously, if this is the what you're hearing, the manager crossed it because he's ultra sensitive because his team stinks and he's not doing a good job.
Right. Well, both might be true. You know, maybe the reporter was being a jackass and was being sarcastic. Well, all right, Mickey, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what you bring out tomorrow.
Right.
Which is a lot of these.
Unprofessional shouldn't
happen. A lot of these scribes are fans. Like, that's the one thing. They're super fans of the team.
Yeah.
And they get caught up in the emotion. And maybe the truth is somewhere in between that. But, again, you've got to find a line of professionalism from both sides. And obviously the manager's got to have more class in that scenario. He's the guy. It's his organization. The scribe, he just gets credentialed to go in. So that would be the PR guy who could get into the face of the scribe and say, what are you doing? You're out of line with my manager here.
Yeah.
The manager shouldn't take it on himself.
There's only so far you can go.
Exactly.
You can shoot back, but yeah. You can't start swearing and challenging the guy.
Well, I'm sure throughout my career, and I don't know where you were at. Oh, there were guys you didn't care for some of the things. And I asked the scribe one time. He wrote a negative article, and it was weird. I hadn't even played, and I just asked him, and he broke into tears.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's not cool.
No, that guy can't do that.
Yeah, it was weird. It was awkward.
You can't do that.
Mahls, get me the Sudbury coach for when we come back.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to that. And our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Red Sox home plus. I'm on Philly home plus against Mickey Callaway and the Mets tonight. And I'm on the under in the Cubbies Braves game tonight. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
We found the audio from my guy, Paul Fixter, up in Sudbury. And these were his comments, him losing it.
Who's theirs or ours?
Yours. I thought you guys worked hard.
Yeah, good. That's good.
Well, I don't know. Well,
that's your opinion. That's your opinion. We worked hard. There you go. Good for you. What's the question?
Did you work hard?
You. Talk to me like that?
Well, how are you acting towards us? All we're doing is trying to do an interview.
Well, ask me a question then. Did we work hard?
Yeah.
When was that?
That was a while ago. It was probably a year ago or more.
Is he still coaching?
2014, the Grappler says.
Don't think so.
I have a feeling he didn't make it.
Yeah.
Although that sounded like the old...
The reporter, he pushed back. He was like,
I've heard that
one before. Did you work hard? Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that one before.
He doubled down.
Mm-hmm. Hey, sometimes when you're up against it.
It's fine. You can.
Well, he said all we're doing is trying to conduct an interview. Did you work hard? And he went, F you.
Yeah, well, got a little chippy.
Pretty standard question.
If you watch the video.
But that
online,
was like, that was, it was probably off the rails. Yeah. 20 games, losses, whatever.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
There was a build up there. Yeah. And the media guy, again, he didn't have to come back with the, did you play hard?
Yeah,
like, he could have been like, all right, listen, I'm trying to ask you a question.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it.
But he realized the coach was being a
Brendan.
Thing. Yeah.
You know, you could have gone any which way.
Exactly.
All right, the Jays are in New York taking on the Yankees tonight. NHL free agency.
Yes.
RFAs on Wednesday.
They're all
NBA,
getting on airplanes.
There's a lot of stuff cooking. Noodles, you're off tomorrow.
I will be in PEI for the Special Olympics Gala. Be back here Wednesday.
All right, Jonas Siegel is going to be in here tomorrow.
Wow, the Beagle.
We gotta get Masters. Just get him in here for trivia.
We'll work on some trivia at some point tomorrow.
We'll get Masters on the horn.
Okay.
If there's no like newsworthy stuff, trivia.
We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.